Hey, everybody. Jason Burmis here, and boy, do we got a lot to talk about today. We got John Fitch with us. It's Mixed Martial Mindset. Everybody knows I've been on the road.
Yes.
John, I just want to start with some housekeeping, and I want to thank everybody that had me in their thoughts and prayers. As everybody knew, I had all these crazy health issues the last 3 weeks, and my eye still, I haven't figured that out yet. But I want to point out, this is modern day medicine, okay? On day two, let me repeat this, day two, I had diagnosed myself with probable BPPV, which is biproximal positional vertigo, because right away, I noticed it was only on one part of my body when I was doing one thing, and it was crippling. Mm-hmm. And I also did the test online that Johns Hopkins and all these other reputable medical sources said to do for this vertigo. And it was called the Dix-Hallpike test. And I did that test and I knew it was on my right side. Okay. Now I want to talk about how I had to see 5 separate doctors, spend $3,000+, and it's not over yet because the eye is still messed up, guys. Have an MRI, which told me I had a cholesterol granuloma, which I do, but I found out much of my, at least 2 people in my family also have, and it's never caused problems. Okay. And when I talked to, I believe it was my 4th doctor, which is now my primary, she said I was probably born with it. So I just want to point out, I went to a clinic, nobody could help me. I went to an eye doctor twice, 2 separate ones, nobody can help me. That's 3. Okay. And every single one I'm saying, I think I have BPV. I think I have BPV. So then I finally talked to the primary, which is the 4th, which sends me in for the MRI. That's the 5th. Where I get everything done. And then the 6th doctor, and let me say this, who walked in while I was in the office and I didn't have my mask on, and she said she was over it and didn't make me put my first doctor. And in Iowa, it's the only place that I've had to wear these things to get medical attention because they're corporate. That's how the system works. Okay.
We have our kids' doctor, no masks.
That's great. I mean, again, you need the private ones, right? But I'm in all these systems right now. I don't want to name the names, but so I go in and this woman immediately, I have a rapport with. I can tell. First of all, I feel comfortable because we're not playing pretend at this point. Okay. I want to point that out. So I again tell her the same exact thing. She does the tests, right? She is very honest with me and says when she's looking at this cholesterol granuloma, she needs to talk to another person because it is that rare. And have them read the MRIs. She lets me sit next to her. She doesn't seem scared of me. We're looking at the screen, everything. So after we do the test, she's like, has anybody even suggested physical therapy for you? I go, no. And I've been trying to get it because I think I have BPV. Well, she goes, well, let's get that done first. Now, even then, she wanted to do more tests that I didn't do. Like I said, I am going to see, my eye's still messed up. I'm going to see another doctor, 2 doctors in Iowa City. Okay. But I finally go to physical therapy on Wednesday, John. Okay. Wednesday afternoon. A lot of you guys, I think I went to the broadcast. Okay. I go there and I start talking to the woman immediately. Now she is a neurologist by trade on top of a physical therapist. Within 15 minutes of sitting there, we diagnosed myself 3 weeks later. This has been crippling, guys. I don't know how to describe it. If you swing the wrong way, you could be on the ground. I couldn't go down and reach for something without losing my balance and maybe falling over. It made me feel very helpless. I've never had anything like this. 15 minutes in, she diagnoses me with exactly what I said I had 2 days in. Hold on. It gets wilder, John.
So, I'll take my degree that I got in 8 years over your Google search.
Bro, so then we do these exercises. Now, remember I had talked about the Epley maneuver and we actually discussed that. And she said, well, how did you feel? And I go, listen, I watched on YouTube and there's no one suggesting how many places it is or which part of my ear it is. So, I'm feeling pretty much the same after I do it. And I go, it's pretty crippling when you do it. She goes, I know. And I told her my eye was moving when it happened. And she is actually, oh, there it is. She was so on page with me, right? We did 20 minutes of exercises that made me feel like shit. Okay. I left. I felt normal again. I eased up. I went, got something to eat. Now, she had told me I was going to have to do reps of 5 on each side, John, that's 10. That's a rep of 10, 3 to 5 times a day, which isn't easy. Like, it didn't feel good. But, far be it from me. There are plenty of people that had something worse. But she also said, listen, if you're going to do this, you might be out of commission a little while. So you really got to pick and choose because you told me you're going on the road, right? I went and got something to eat. I didn't feel great. I took like a 2-hour nap. I packed everything up. I left at 10:30 p.m., drove all the way to Tulsa, stayed up through the day, got a hotel, went to bed, did this thing on the weekend. It was 7 to 3. Both times in the hotel, I'm waking up. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't think I have vertigo. I didn't do the test. I got back here. It took a 20-minute her holding my head and shaking the goddamn crystal back in. And I'm fine. I can do a cartwheel right now. It boggles the, I just want this to be a tale for everybody else out there. Now, this is still messed up, but I'm a fucking college dropout, okay? And I figured out, she actually, before we did the exercises, John, went and got the 3D model, and there are three parts in that area of the inner ear where the crystals go, and pointed out which one it was. And she looked at me straight up, and she said, you know, you are lucky. She's like, because a lot of people come in here, and this is going to be life-changing. And she goes, 1 to 3 weeks of these exercises, maybe 12 weeks if there's an infection involved, and you'll be fine. It didn't take that. It took 20 fucking minutes and me taking a nap before I drove 10 hours. While she was doing this with me, by the way, John, I looked up at her and I said, thank you. And I go, I know this is your gig, but I've been telling every doctor I think I have this. Thank you for helping me, man.
It's just one of those nuts. Another nut who went to WebMD.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you. Like I said, it sucked. All right. We're done with that.
Here's a pill.
Have you? All right. So before we get into everything else, John Fitch, you're an MMA fighter. You've seen lots of doctors. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a similar experience where, you know, you think you know your body better? Turns out you do. And you get on a wild goose chase.
Well, yeah, you know, slowly as you get introduced to more and more doctors and physical therapists and stuff, you start realizing that they're just people and sometimes they suck. Like, just because they have a degree doesn't mean they really know what they're doing. They memorize the right things, they filled the right questions out, doesn't mean they actually have a working knowledge of your sport, your type of injuries. And like, I started draining my own cauliflower ears, you know, back, right after college, because I realized that, you know, we had a doctor on staff at Purdue who had drained our ears a bunch, so he knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we had weekends where he was gone and we had to use one of the basketball doctors or somebody else, like, they would butcher it. It would hurt. They wouldn't do a good job. Like, they just didn't know. So that is something that I've been doing for a long time, is draining my own ears and draining other people's ears.
So again, man, the experience is everything. Listen to your own body, get more than one opinion. Cause again, I still have blood work coming from a whole nother place, and I've gotten, that's beyond the Iowa stuff. And you know, actually my primary called me today and asked me what was going on. And you know, she's been pretty helpful too. Listen, you got to be able to tell people no. I said no on the lumbar stuff. They started talking about an endoscopy. I said, no. You've got to know you, right? Let's try the other things that you think they may be. And because again, this came out of nowhere. All right, let's get into Elon Musk. It looks like he has Twitter. Okay. And by the way, johnfitch.net, that's where you find everything Fitch. Yeah.
Yep. Johnfitch.net. Sign up for the newsletter.
So here's the deal, guys. We're also right now on the Bean. So you can also call in. We're going to go to probably a couple. We're going to actually, if there's a lot
ready.
Of callers.
The questions ready about the purchase, the big purchase.
If you want to talk Musk, please call in. It's over on the Podbean app. We'll get to it. Here's the deal. Take a look right here. During this COVID-1984 nightmare, we have seen an unprecedented consolidation of power on a global scale. Okay, let's point that out. And there has been...
And wealth.
That's absolutely
power and wealth. Yep.
It's not only just wealth. It's what we talked about in the very beginning of this, because we talked about, well, how are they going to crash the economy? Because all this money is worth something to them. I said, no, they're going to own the resources and put everybody else out of business. And that's exactly what we've seen.
If they own all the land, all the farmland, if they own all the gold, all the silver, all the ammo, they own everything. Like, it doesn't matter if the dollar turns to zero, because certain things have an inherent value regardless of money. And if they have stockpiled those things, like, they keep their wealth.
I mean, if they own, and the land is the big one, you know, and with inflation, with them owning the land, they want to make it so you could never own a home again. And look at this guy. He made
nobody's ever going to own farmland when you have private farmland ever again. Mm-hmm. Like it's all owned by, you know,
some of the worst people. And that's the thing.
The worst people have consolidated all of the farmland. Like it's only a few companies, you know, besides Bill Gates, like the rest of the farmland too. There's no like a bunch of like individual farmers out there. It's like a bunch of consolidated owners who lease the land to farmers.
And by the way, I get it. Musk saying and doing all the cool and right things, right? He was just attacking Bill Gates on that's a feud. Come on, listen. The top three guys that made money, it was Musk, Bezos, and Gates on paper. I'm not saying there aren't other entities that made a lot more money because, again, these guys are tied up in their contracts with military industrial complex companies, et cetera. Okay. Whereas who has these real resources? But 600% wealth increase. Okay. Now, my prediction is he's going to allow everybody back on Twitter. Hey, Elon, you tweeted out that you're highest and worst critics, of which I am a proud member of, are staying on Twitter. Well, that's great. How about the blue check mark I've deserved since I got on the platform? Can I get that? Can I now be like New York Times worthy Elon? We'll see. And you know what? Maybe he does. Maybe he brings back Alex Jones. Alex Jones and Roger Stone were having a love fest on Elon Musk today over at the broadcast. I got to say, I think they're setting this guy up to be a false savior. He is a
he's too much of a nice guy. He's somebody who's too manipulative. They can manipulate him. I don't see him as completely of a strong character. Like they have leverage on him. He's going to fold, you know, even if he says some cool things or does some cool things. I don't think he's outright evil. Like,
no,
I'm going to do some things, but he's like opportunistic for making money. And then he's not going to say no. He can't say no. I don't think he's tough enough. I don't think he has the attitude to stand up to, you know, whoever's telling him to send up his murdering satellite units.
Exactly. You know what? Jones actually kind of acknowledged today that the press was saying that he's a puppet of Putin. Meanwhile, Jones goes, he's fighting Putin in the Ukraine. And he really is. And that's being underreported. And that's the problem. All of his main money and power is coming from the military industrial complex. And you know what? We're going to do it live. Everybody knows about
which I think in that situation, I don't think he's the fall guy. They're gonna chop the legs out, rug him at some point.
Look,
if he gets out of line,
the follow up to COVID-19, the Great Reset by Klaus Schwab and Thierry Mallaret is the great narrative, and narratives, at least the ones that we've all been taught, guys, I hate to tell you, in the movies and on the TV shows, is there's good guys and there's bad guys. And in the end, good guys win. Oh, good guys win. I don't know that the good guy's going to win on this one. Once again, when he says, we will coup who we want to coup. When NASA is about quantum supremacy, okay, with Google, another harbinger of evil and transhumanism, they're rolling it out in front of your face. The guy's main money is coming from what? DARPA's, SpaceX's, Starlink. All right, it's Blackjack. It's Mandrake. They're moving all sorts of cargo there. They have for a while. They're moving it around the world in an hour. Meanwhile, they have you believe, and we're going to Mars over Easter weekend, John. They launched it. They're telling you he's couch surfing right now. This shit is cartoon level, guys. I'm sorry. And you know what? Great that he does this. But in the future, when he wants you to put a brain chip in, okay, so that you can be happy like this guy and say, I want a beer. When he wakes up, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you can't. And where's the woman? We have the one woman here. Where's the woman with the brain chip? She's so happy. Here it is, by the way. SpaceX launches spy satellites for a second time. This is on the 17th. You hear, this is what they're really doing. This is what they're really doing. So cool. He buys Twitter. Well, he might start World War fucking 3. Am I wrong, John? Tell me I'm wrong, John. Lie to me. Lie to me.
I mean, I don't think he's the one starting the war. I think they're just going to kick him out and use all his tools and toys. I don't think he's a diabolical agent. I just think he's weak.
I don't know, man. I don't think it's like as easy as diabolical agent. I think that like, all right, this is how I see it. Okay. They kind of come to you at a certain age, right? Usually depending on what you're doing entrepreneurial wise, Bezos, like we talked about, Bezos's grandfather's a part of DARPA. So they could have groomed him from teenage years. You know what I mean? Say, this is the guy, this is the kid, you know, we're going to push him. He's one of our boys' relatives and he's got the drive, and we'll push him into the deliver everything. Cause that's all going to be automated and robotics, and get you accustomed to that. For the eventual, you're not allowed to go out in public because they're going to just bring everything to you. Mark my words. All right. So same thing with Elon Musk. He could have been groomed at a very young age. His father is the origin, not his father, his grandfather is the originator of the technocratic party at the turn of the century in the 1900s. I think it was like 1917. All right. So they see that, you know, his dad makes money and their family continues to make money, and they've brought him over here. And look at this guy. He swiped in at PayPal with Peter Thiel. He really fucked over those other four guys. We like this guy. And then all of a sudden, you know, they approach him via DARPA and say, hey, you want to get into the space business? You know, we're kind of privatizing it. We're giving it a new mold. We could also give you the electric car. I mean, how many other guys got worked out? So it's kind of the same work with like an Obama, right? Hey, your parents worked at the Kissinger Institute. Oh, you got a cool last name. We can reinvent you, Barry. You know, Frank Marshall Davis was around. Good deal. You know, Bill Ayers was here and there. You got a good mindset. Let's bring you up. And then they kind of push him. Same thing with Klaus Daddy, Klaus Schwab, right? Johnny Vedmore's piece is getting some well-deserved attention right now. And it talks about Galbraith, it talks about Herman Kahn, and it also talks about Henry Kissinger as kind of the progeny through the CIA funding Harvard and Schwab for the eventual World Economic Forum, which is the face now of this great narrative where many of them are going to be villains. But as you saw, did you see yesterday, Macron won the presidency, and the first thing that trended on Twitter was what, John?
When?
Rigged. That's when. Yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yes, he won yesterday.
French election?
In fact, there were the people rioting in the streets. You're not going to see it on the mainstream.
No coverage. Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, the first thing so, you know, let's go to my Twitter feed as well. Yeah, thumbs it up, by the way. Subscribe and share. You know,
I follow a reasonable amount of people who comment on things like that. And I still have not seen anything about that. I did see there was an election. I did see the results, but I didn't see anybody.
Domination. He dominated. They had like by, I think it was like 10%. So let's see. Let's get it down here. So yeah, here it is right here over in the Twitter.
They didn't even, you know, I've remembered elections in the past where like the French election was heavily covered.
Yeah.
Like our US media covered it a lot. You know, and I don't remember seeing much about this election.
That's one tweet. When the WEF pals wrap up an entire election for you and rigged, immediately starts trending on Twitter, which it did. You know what? Let's do it live and let's look it up. Let's type in Macron and see what we get for videos. So here we go. Yeah, riots in the street. Then the only, look at these. These only have like 8,000 views, 64,000 views. That's enough. Everybody looks so happy that Macron won.
Is that UN police force or is French?
It looks like it's France, right? I'm pretty sure because, you know, they're all decked up in the black. It doesn't look like it's a UN, but lots going on here, guys. You know, we turned down the volume for the audio listeners. And again, you want to call in, calling in over at the Podbean, and we are going to go to some callers. We actually don't have anybody on the line yet, but we're going to get to you. So again, Podbean app is another great way to do this. So yeah, I mean, you didn't see this video anywhere. Let's play another one. They're so happy. Again, these people, it's incredible. Look at the, and this is the show of force. It's just like, this is a mirror image of what
look,
we saw.
Look how much force we can, if we wanted to, we could really come after you.
I mean, seriously.
No, that was a meme I posted the other day. That there are some United States police forces who are giving leftover extra military equipment to Ukraine. And the meme was like, think about it. Your local police force has so much extra equipment of war, they can give some of it away.
Yeah, it gives some of it away. Give some of it. I mean, here we go. Here's a nice little charge into the crowd. There, that's so lovely of them. And here's the deal, guys. What happens when these aren't people and they're just robots? It's going to be a lot harder to fight them. I promise you. And you can joke around, especially with drones, and we're giving them drones. And I mean, this is happening. It's being blacked out.
Robot dogs with pepper spray, sound cannons, the electric zappers. Yeah. They have a little specialty robot that just comes and puts zip ties on your wrists and feet.
I mean, are we going to get taken down for disinformation because we reported on the people of France believing it was a rigged election and that it trended and that we dared to question?
You're going to the re-education camp. How dare you think that it could even be a possibility in a democracy?
Oh, man. Thumbs it up, subscribe, and share. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing, John, is in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be going to South Carolina, and I'm going to be speaking at this Reawaken America tour, and I'm going to be talking about Elon Musk, Blackjack, transhumanism, Neuralink, DARPA, and NASA, as well as Dennis Bushnell. I've played a lot of those Bushnell clips here. I went to Tulsa, and I had an idea there were going to be a lot of podcasters there, right? So, but you know, who knows who's going to show up? It's a lot of right-wing people, right? Mm-hmm. What I didn't realize is that Michael Flynn was going to be there for the majority of the weekend. He was there and very accessible. I didn't personally speak to him, but I'm definitely going to try to get an interview with him. And you know, it was definitely, you should have come with me, man. Next time I'm going to offer John Fitch to come with me on something like that. Cause there were a lot of great connections. I have like a thing of business cards. I was the most technical person there. I talked to so many people who had no idea who I was. In fact, there were a few people who did know who I was and they were like, what the fuck are you doing here? Seriously, they were pretty surprised I was there. But at the same time, I had a lot of technical expertise. So guys, like, I have a notebook on top of, like, these are just like some of the cards I got of, some pretty flyby conservatives, a lot of religious folks. There's a lot of people there, but you can tell that just a lot of these people are well-meaning people, man. And they don't get it. They don't get that it's not just China and that transhumanism is on the way and that Elon Musk is going to be a vehicle for that. And props to Clay Clark. First of all, for being one of the most motivated motherfuckers I've ever met in my life, dude. So we went out, I go out there, right? And he's got this building, which is basically a pole building that he insulated and decked out as a big studio, right? And it's on this property. He's got a couple parking lots so everybody can be there. Little waterfall koi pond outside. And just, he's like, look, I get up at 3 a.m. I'm here at 4 a.m. He's like, you guys want to come down at 4 a.m. It was 7 to 3. You can come down. He's like, you want to get stuff done? That's how you do it. And then he's showing his schedule. And I know his schedule's like that because every time I've had him on, it's like through a cancellation or really quick. And, he's got another one coming up, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And he's right, man. It's just like, if you want to do something in life, you got to get after it. And I'm sure that's a mentality that you've had over the years. Talk about like some of the early days of training and wrestling and really getting to that competitive level.
No, yeah. Like, man, if you're doing just the baseline, what everybody else is doing, like you're not going to make it to the top tier. You're not going to be elite. You're not going to get to that next level. If for example, like with wrestling, if I just went to wrestling practice during the season, that's not enough to make me a state champ or make me a national champ or be able to go to, you know, a big school and compete. You know, the extra practices, getting up, you know, I used to get up at like 5:30 in the morning, go to the high school early, and we had 20-minute run. I would do a 20-minute run, and that was me. Like, I made friends with the janitor, so he would open the school and let me in, and then my teammates would start, when they found out I was going, they would start coming in too. They were less consistent than me, but they still would come in. But, you know, when we broke during practice to learn technique, I would do push-ups and sit-ups and stuff because I already knew the technique because I was a senior or whatever, and I was doing extra. And, you know, taking classes during the day. We had a weightlifting class, you know, that way I could get an extra hour of training in during the day. You know, it wasn't enough to just do the baseline requirement. You've got to do extra. And then it wasn't until I got a little bit older where I really started understanding, you know, the amount of work you needed to focus on off season. You know, it wasn't enough to work hard and do extra during the season, but like, it's, you got like a week off after the season, and then you start again, you start training and you start drilling again. You do freestyle, you do more competing in the summertime. And those extras are the things that lift you up and put you ahead of everybody else.
Absolutely, man. And the reason I brought up Clay is because throughout the whole thing, he was talking about Elon Musk and not just Neuralink, which everybody knows about, but how he was invested in mRNA technology. And he has this quote out there, we've played it here, where he talks about that mRNA could be used to reverse aging, or even if you wanted to change somebody into a butterfly. Now, I want you to just think about that. I've often talked about how what we're really seeing in this transgender push is about transhumanism. And that became extremely evident when you had non-binary. Okay. That once it came to non-binary, you could tell there again, want you to believe you are zeros and ones. Okay.
That's the most redundant, stupid thing anybody's ever come up with. Non-binary.
Well,
because if you say I'm non-binary, that means that somebody else is binary, which again makes you part of a binary system.
But again, with the non-binary
it's so dumb.
It's to prepare you to believe that you can be a butterfly, that you can be a flying pink elephant with a tortoise shell. Like, whatever you can dream up, you can be your World of Warcraft character, mm-hmm. because just like them, you're just zeros and ones. And I want to make that extremely clear. It's not just, I mean, it's about a lot of things. It's about getting control over your children, where the state has more control over a human being than it can, confusing them as to who they are, and stopping what is the largest threat to the power structure, and that is testosterone-based alpha males that know how to organize and move. I mean, that's period. And they know it. And they've known it for a long time. It's not a mistake. Everybody's making fun of Tucker Carlson for doing that documentary about how men's testosterone has dropped dramatically over the last 20 years.
You just sun their balls.
John, how many times have we talked about it, though? Like, we've talked about it on this program probably over the last 2 years.
Yeah, there's a generation or something like that. There's a book out, talks a lot about it. Talks about all the toxins in your water, your food, the plastics, the hormones, everything that you get exposed to in your body, and how it's affecting your testosterone levels, affecting your hormone levels. Like, it's a big thing, because your hormones are what's connected to your emotions. Right. If you have hormone imbalances, you're going to have anxiety issues. You're going to have anger issues. You're going to have depression. Yeah, that seems like there's a lot of people on SSRIs. There's a lot of people who are having some kind of mental problems right now. There's a lot of people who wear their mental issues as a badge, or they're showing off how many mental diseases they have. But it could be very well tied to our hormones being screwed up, because, you know, men's hormone levels are getting messed up with testosterone dropping to all time low levels. But, you know, women's testosterone levels are being affected too. And you have, you know, all this birth control and SSRIs that go into the water supply. Not all of it can be removed. You get exposed to it. Who knows what that's doing to people?
Well, I want to point to this study. And by the way, I mean, you could just, you were talking about the things in the water. Just look, everybody look into BPA, bisphenol A. Everybody laughed about leaching plastics and what they were using in the cans for Campbell's soup and others. It's not so funny now. And they want to make it about Alex Jones and his turn of the frogs gay. Listen, it's not a meme, guys. It's a real deal. And I want to point people to this study. Read the actual study, okay? You can get the, I believe it's a PDF file, or it brings you over to it. And I'm not making this claim. I wouldn't want to be hit with any medical misinformation, especially about this subject. But this is a new study that says antidepressants do not make people any happier. Saudi researchers claim antidepressants do not significantly improve life quality. People taking pills do not see better outcomes than those on no medication. Okay. You think you'll hear about that when you had people like Herman Kahn, right? I think we played that video talking about tranquilizing the populace and checking your drug levels when you get to work. I mean, I don't know, John. I know you're a big purveyor. And in fact, one of the things.
Well, these guys, if they have their way and they chip you, they're going to know all that stuff anyways. They're going to know your alcohol levels at all time.
Well, it won't even be a
check. They're going to know what drugs you take. You're going to know every little piece about you. And then they're going to take that information. They're going to sell it to somebody so they can try to sell something to you better.
And you know what? And that's a great point. And we were talking about NASA and Bushnell. And in 2020, John, there's a new document. Well, you know, I've been big on that strategic warfare document, right? You know what? Let's see if let's do it live, because I believe I have it already downloaded here, and somebody put it into video format. I'm going to have to find the PDF where I can really get the nuggets that I want on this one. But it's about those pesky human brain interfaces and nanotechnology that goes beyond even the Chipskis and Hutch there, my friend. Unfortunately, we're talking about some serious, you know, we talked about, for instance, in that RAND document, right? What was it? That RAND document where they were going to use certain waves, right? So here it is right here. It's disruptive technologies and their punitive impacts on society and aerospace. Let's bring that up. Okay, fantastic. Here it goes. Take off the background sound here. And here it is right here, just for, it's entering the virtual age, everybody. Okay. And it goes a little slow, but I want to get to some of the governing stuff, you know, some of the meat and potatoes right here, carbon nanotubes. Let's see right here. Let's go with what he's saying currently exists. Bring that up right over here. The current fastest computers are considerably beyond human brain speed. Research in machine intelligence are now pursuing deep learning approaches using neural nets, which are proving to be extremely useful. Okay. He's talking about it waking up. And he talks about the IT revolution producing massive changes in human society and economics, from the internet enabling rapid expansion of knowledge, and even what is knowable, to an increasingly pervasive trend of tele-everything. So a lot of this is the older stuff, but then he starts talking about how they're going to need new heuristic governing laws, because it will also accelerate the expansion of robotics capabilities, which are on a clear path to pervasive autonomous systems. That's, you're out of here. Machines are rapidly supplanting humans in ever more areas of employment. They are proving to be more productive, less expensive, and in growing numbers of areas more capable than humans. Okay? This is obviously a large document that we're going to be getting into. But they talk about it. UAVs, basically in the air surveilling all of us. He gets into the nanotechnology under the skin. It's all right there. Increasing cyborgism, virtual living. I really wish I was making up at least every one of these. They still have the DIY back to the land. So in other words, maybe they'll let some of us live off in the woods somewhere in communities if we can afford our own technology and want to like stay out of the way while they just take over until they take over for everything and get into the virtual age where they want to, put your direct brain to machine interactions and humans merging with machines into an immersive digital reality. I didn't write this stuff, John. And, you know, it's just the head of NASA.
This sounds like the beginning of Matrix. Like, this sounds like the plot of Matrix.
Well, again,
we're going to put everybody in a pod. You're going to have a digital reality. Like, oh, man, that's where we're headed. It's wild.
And I want to say it again.
Good thing. I went with the boys this weekend with their scout troop, and we got some survival. We did some survival training. We made fire. We were able to make fire with friction. Fire is good. You know, we learned the rule of threes. That's very good to know. And we're ready to survive. Ready to do it.
I like everything about that, John. Sounds like you had a great time with your kids and you connected with nature and you taught them usable skills in the case of emergency when nature might possibly not be their
build,
friend.
They had to build their own shelters. It was pretty cool. He had them. First, he's like, here, why don't you go take these and build your own shelters? And then they built their own shelters, which they look cool or whatever. And they put a lot of creativity into them, but they weren't very like structurally sound. And then he showed them the right way to do it. And then they went back out and they tried it. And it was pretty cool. It was fun.
You know, and that's less and less these days. And it's a damn shame because they are also trying to break up the nuclear family and demonize it and act again. Mm-hmm. As though your children are the states or part of this collectivist ideal set. Because you can put an ism on the end of everything. Communism, socialism, right? All these different things. At the end, it is collectivism. It is groupthink. It is that they own your children and their thoughts and their behavior. And they don't want to have a family that is strong and flourishes and depends on one another. No. It's a damn shame, but I see it all the time, man. That's one of the other things I really respect about all these people that I was amongst during this thing at Clay Clark. The vast majority of them are very religious. Actually, Dr. Rashid Buttar was there. I connected with him. He was one of those highly censored guys in the beginning of all this COVID-1984 nightmare, which we'll be talking about, by the way, on the other.
Such a trip. We all need to kind of like pause and just look back.
Well, listen, wait. Let's talk about it on the other side. We don't want to get banned. We're still on YouTube.
Just because it's been a rapid switch and shift away from one narrative into the next narrative, and it's terrifying.
It's a reality, man, and a lot of people don't realize that it's probably not over, and that's what we're going to talk about with Musk coming up and Twitter and what we see happening in the future. We're going to talk about it on the other side of YouTube because, hey, there are certain things that I probably can't say on YouTube and I don't want to get kicked off. I want to remind people I'm going to be on the road. I'm probably not going to be doing a lot of videos, but you can still find a ton of my uncensored stuff, not only at Podbean in both audio and video form, but of course, Rockfin, where we are literally, John, only about 300 people away from being 55,000 strong on an alternative platform. Wow. If you haven't seen my documentary films, I would encourage you to check out Shade the Motion Picture, Invisible Empire, and New World Order Defined, Loose Change Final Cut, and Fabled Enemies. They are all free. You can actually still find them in the playlist section at YouTube if you're not already subscribed there. But right now, we are going to continue on both the Beanery and audio and over at Rockfin. And John, you got a Rockfin. Tell us about it.
Got a Rockfin. We're closing in on 12,000 followers. I do, John Fish Does Nothing goes up there on live Sunday nights. And I have my Learn to Fight videos. They are released Friday. You get them first on Rockfin. They come out on Monday on YouTube, but you'll get to see them first. I break down street fights and self-defense situations. I had a good one this last Friday. Was a security guard that had some training, and he handled an aggressive customer really well, so that was a cool fight to watch. But yeah, I break down the fights, talk about what the people did well, what they did badly, what they could have done to avoid
the confrontation. Generally speaking, your job in self-defense is to get away and not get hurt. You don't have to go out and finish people. This guy was a security guard though, so he kind of had a different job. But yeah, it's a fun thing to do because you get to watch some examples of kind of what not to do more often than not.
Absolutely. You know, it's not a Bruce Willis movie. And if anybody doubts that, think about what just happened to Willis. This is real life, guys. This isn't a TV show. You should watch enough street fight videos just to understand that anything can happen. And a lot of the time it does. And some of the times it's life changing and you didn't think it was going to be.
Yeah, people fall and hit their heads all the time. It's probably like the number one injury from a knockout in a street fight is the person falling and hitting their head.
Absolutely. All right, so guys, we're leaving YouTube. We will see you over on The Rockfin. At least make that free account. And again, if you do want to support me, you wait till you're on a desktop. You hit the subscribe button. $99.99 for the entire year. That locks it in. That's great stuff. And of course, if you do get 1 month, it's $9.99 for the month. So you also save a little cash. Later, YouTube. We'll see you on the flip side over at The Rockfin. Okay, so COVID-1984. Certainly not done, in my opinion. I think there are going to be
so what is the likelihood that, you know, because we can't trust anything from China. Last time this stuff was going on, we saw a bunch of people just passing out in the street. You know, we're led to believe that, oh, COVID was so bad, people are just dying in the street. You had people in gurneys and body bags stretched out, you know, filling up lots. And now we're seeing people in their hazmat suits, like clubbing people and dragging them. And what? How much of it is real, and how much is theater? Because it's China.
I'm gonna say it like this. I feel like number one, it's gonna be very, very different in the sense that we're really gonna have the food shortages during whatever comes up right next. That's number one. And we'll see how bad those food shortages are, but I think that they'll be largely regional, just like the lockdowns were in many cases, right? You're going to see probably shortages everywhere in some regards, but worse in certain areas, right? That's number one. Number two, I truly believe that people that got multiple shots are probably not going to be in the best of the shape for the next 3 to 5 years. We'll see how many of them in this year. I think it might be a 10 to 15% increase in sickness and death. But I think that's also going to happen. And if they
what's the likelihood that they just relate that to, it was because they got COVID.
That's exactly it. That's my point. Like,
and then we got to double lock things down because now people are dying from COVID.
Exactly. And people are going to be,
and the unvaccinated are to blame.
Who knows whether they're going to go unvaccinated? Who knows if they're going to go different type of strain?
Under-vaccinated.
I look at it this way. A lot of people, another reason I really trusted this woman that I was talking to that, again, prescribed the physical therapy that got rid of my awful, awful condition. Again, guys, in less than an hour, I walked out of there. And days later, I'm better than ever. I want to point that out. She said to me, well, we talked about, I think she said it was over. We talked about the shot for a second. She said, you know, I had some really adverse reactions. She goes, first of all, she talked about how 5 of her patients had killed themselves in the last 2 months.
Okay? Jesus.
Yes. Which she was dark enough. And then she talked about the shot and she said, you know, I had several people.
Isolation, man. That's not good for a lot of people.
I was like, whoa, 5, huh? And she's like, yeah, it's really disturbing and people aren't talking about it and it's being brushed under the rug. And, you know, more reason to trust this woman. And then she says that several of her older patients after they got shots 2 and 3 had awful things happen to them, from fevers to rashes to you know, just, you know, terrible side effects. So, you know, at least I realized, and she had no idea. We started talking, and when she realized, everybody's so interested when they ask me what I do, because I'm just paying in cash and I don't have insurance, right? So they always, everybody's like, what are you doing? Because they want me to apply for all these things. I think, well, listen, give me the cash discount. I'm not applying for anything. I'm not getting in any system. I'm like, I can pay for it. I'm not worried. I'm like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a podcaster, whatever he calls it, podcasting. And then they want to know what you talk about. And my litmus test is, have you ever heard of the Bilderberg Group? Like, just to give them, you know, see if they understand where I'm even going to be coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, no chance, you know, they have any idea. And I try to explain to them this kind of this power consortium, and I name some people, and, you know, I go,
that's not real. Like, people won't even believe it's real. You show them videos and pictures, and that's whatever.
You know, we should check that right now.
People can't wrap their heads around it.
Well, Bilderberg 2020. Good.
Yeah. There's a number of little clubs where these super rich dorks go and talk about how they're gonna.
Well, let's see right now. What do we got here? Right here. It doesn't look like they have the 2022 dates yet. They do say the 20. Let's bring it up so everybody can actually read it. They do say that the 2020 and 2019 or 2021 had been canceled because of restrictions. But yeah, it doesn't look like they have the 2022 information on their own little website. And we're looking. So Bilderberg meeting study in China 2022. What is this? No. That can't be real.
In China.
Oh, if they meet in China, I'll be so upset, John. That would be the ultimate teabag on people like me, that they're just out in the open who said, "Hey, remember when you said China was the model, Jason?" You know, they just go there. It's just like outward. And they, you know what? It'd be even better if they had like some kind of crazy spectacle Mayan occultic ritual where they just took Uyghurs and sacrificed them in front of everybody before
they let them give speeches and praise the China model and how great they're doing and how envious they are of it.
Or they made it.
They'll shove Chinese family up there and force them to smile. But the rest of their families in a dungeon somewhere.
Bro, what they really, I mean, if they want to go over the top, what they do is it's their coming out party, right? And they all come out in like the Klaus Schwab future outfits. You know that future, like crazy, like Darth Vader outfit he has. Have you ever seen that?
Which, the Klaus Schwab Darth Vader? Yeah.
So they
all an actual outfit, or did somebody put him
in? Listen, Schwab, that's real, man. Hold on. Klaus Schwab. Darth Vader outfit.
I think I know what you're talking about.
This one here. He gave a big speech in this outfit right here. This is a very real picture, everybody. That this is not like.
I swear to God,
it's not. That's not Photoshop. He really
thought they photoshopped his head on some ridiculous.
No, he gives a speech. Show. I'm gonna type in Schwab.
It reminds me of like V. Remember V from the 80s? Watch that. Looks like he's going to tear away his freaking lizard mask. His mask into his lizard face.
Let's see if we can find that
outfit. You guys haven't watched V. Watch V.
They tried to reboot that too.
Everything new gets made sucks because they try to woke it up.
You know what? I wish I could find it. I'm gonna put it down for now. But yeah, that's absolutely real. So they all come out in that outfit or variations of it, right? Some of them wear capes, John, right now. I mean, and they just announce, they go, from now on, they have Klaus do it too. And they actually play the Imperial March as he walks out in the outfit. And they go, from now on, the Bilderberg meeting will be public like Davos, and the home base will be China. And they just outwardly start talking about exterminating everybody. Just like the robots are coming.
Completely, completely out of touch human beings.
Oh, bro. It's too much. It's too much. There it is. And I'm sorry, guys. I just don't believe that. Let's see if we can get the videos. Oh, that's him. There he is at the podium. Here he is at the podium. And look, I mean, the little thing he has, we're going to open that in a new tab right there. But it's got like the goat with the cross on top. Hold on, let's bring it up for everybody.
There's like a little flag in the front.
Yeah, it's a little flag. It has like the morning star on one side, and then it's got the goat with the cross on the top of his head, and he's wearing the star. Like, this is the dude who's outwardly telling you you will own nothing and be happy. It's crazy. There he is with his buddy Macron. There, oh, congratulations, my young global leader. Oh, the great narrative indeed, John. It's here. It's here. It's absolutely here. Fitch, you want to talk some MMA? Do we have anything good coming up next week?
We have to wait 2 weeks for the money fight with Gaethje G and Charlie Olives.
Ooh, that's a pretty
stacked card. We had a lot of action over this last weekend. I know there was a 1FC. I didn't watch any of it. Mm-hmm. But there was a 1FC. There was a PFL Thursday. I didn't really catch that. I just saw some of the results on my timeline because I follow some of those things on Instagram and Twitter, whatever. Then we had Friday night was Bellator. There's a Bellator card. There were some interesting fights in the 145-pound tournament.
Okay.
There were some fun fights there. And then Saturday night was another Bellator in Hawaii. And there were some more of the 145-pound fights that were nice there.
All right. Don't tell me anything else because I didn't see those because I've been on the road. So that gives me something to download.
But those are the most significant fights of those two Bellator events were that 145-pound tournament. Those are the better fights, and they're most interesting, I think.
And I saw that Tyson Fury dominated Dillian White, knocked him out. I didn't see the fight, but the big interest in the MMA
world. Post-fight, they talked about Ngannou.
Yes.
Going to fight Fury. Yeah, that's the big news there.
Yeah.
Going to do probably the triad style. MMA gloves, boxing. Who knows what the ring's going to look like. They may just do their own thing. But he's going to make a lot of money if that happens.
A big, big money, but I think he gets murdered. I'm sorry. Like Tyson Fury boxing style is on another level. I don't think that Ngannou even gets to step in and land one of those big shots.
He's too hard to hit.
Dude, I mean, listen. Yeah. Listen, Ngannou hits like a truck.
Well. He's evasive for a giant. That's why he's a giant guy, and he's pretty light on his feet, and his head movement is way better than anybody else's.
Yeah, totally agree. So, guys, once again, I want to thank everybody. I need you to thumbs it up, subscribe, and share. Both John and I are on the Rock, and at least make that free account. But again, if you want to support the broadcast, that's the best way to do it. Again, medical bills hit me hard. We're still not done. You should have seen the estimates I got for these next two things. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we can clear up my eye. But listen, that's why you got to listen. Trust yourself.
Work out. Get jacked.
That's another point. Listen, I got
right. Lift.
I like
lift
that.
Hard cardio. It's got to be done, guys.
Listen, you're either gonna
pay your dues in the gym, or you're gonna pay out of your pocket at the doctor.
Yeah,
one of them's gonna happen.
And you know what? I've been getting a lot of requests on NAD Plus now that I've been taking it for a few weeks. Let me get through a few months, and then I'll say what I think. But honestly, I'll tell you what. Whereas I would want to take a nap after, eating a lot of carbs. I try not to eat a lot of carbs anyway, but like before that, I'm not really getting that anymore. And then on top of that, I just feel like more straight through all day. I haven't slept much more than 5 hours in a row. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it seems like a pretty positive thing. Gets me up pretty early. I was up and out of bed at 7 a.m. actually before that today. So far, so good. I'm going to check out the resveratrol and we'll see what my blood work is. But let's say that I am pre-diabetic. Metformin is another one of those de-agers. And I know that you had somebody asking you about these de-aging technologies and whatnot. What were their thoughts?
Yeah, I've kind of looked at they were just looking to research it more, and they were looking to buy some, and they couldn't find it from what you had said, but you gave me the link. So
yeah. Well, actually that they're advertising that all of a sudden. I think within the week I bought it on Fox News. Now I'm seeing that. And then the resveratrol you can get in various forms. But I would say that Dr. Sinclair, if you really want to hear somebody that knows what they're talking about, looks great for a 52-year-old man. That's probably the first place that I would go for information. So, Fitch, I will see you next
week. And also, like, with the importance of working out. So I did the survival school stuff. this Saturday. Okay. We were like out in the mountains for like 3-4 hours. And just the minimal amount of effort that we had to do to like build these structures or build the fire was physically demanding. Like you had to work to make the fire. You had to work to tie the things up and make the shelter. Okay. We used to have to work physically hard, like most of the day, for most of our evolution for the last millions of years. Okay. The idea that you can get by today without like breaking a sweat hardly ever is goes against your build, your nature, your biology. You're designed to work. You need to get out. You need to walk. You need to lift. You need to do things that are challenging. Like if you're not doing those things, you're ignoring a big part of who you are as a human being. And if you're suffer from anxiety, if you're depressed, if you have emotional problems, that a lot of that is stemmed to that because your body wants that work. It needs it. It doesn't know what to do. It's panicking because it's not doing what it's supposed to do to survive. You need to work out. You need to exercise. It's important, right? It's good for your mental health. It's probably the best thing for your mental health, okay? So for your mental health, for your physical health, exercise. You need to do some work. Find something that you enjoy, that's challenging, that you can be consistent with, and do it.
You know, Flynn actually gave, again, the same advice. He's like, when you wake up in the morning, you better do some exercise. It's mind, body, and soul, and that's a big part of where you start your day.
Existence bands are cheap, man. You can buy a pack that'll last you years that costs, you know, under $40.
Absolutely. And I've got it all. I got a whole gym in my garage. It's time to do it.
My system, my FitchMash system, like I live 6 days a week, but I never do more than three or four exercises a day. It takes you 35 minutes at the most. Like, if you're on it, you just do it, get it done. It keeps you at a baseline level of it's just do it. You can have your bands in the kitchen while you're making dinner, and you can bust sets out in between cooking stuff.
I love the motivation of John Fitch, and it's johnfitch.net. If you need that motivation, he can give you personals. He also does defense. He's also all over YouTube with John Fitch Knows Nothing and the fight breakdowns on how to get out of those situations as quick as possible.
Yeah, learn the fight.
Absolutely. Guys, we'll see you next week when I get back from New York. Fitch, I look forward to it as always next week. And yeah, man, I'm just pumped that I'm not falling over all over the place, man. I am. All right, brother. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you later.